So it's episode 2 of the Space Game Junkie podcast.
It is episode 2, isn't it?
2, the seconding,
even though,
in space.
Even though it's our third episode, which is going to always throw me off.
Well, you know, it's like good movies. The second one is always subtitled in space.
Or Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. So, Leprechaun in space.
Electric Boogaloo.
The best of the Leprechaun. The best of the Leprechaun franchise. But anyway, you know, I've wondered, we were talking about game sound effects and things like that, mm-hmm. right? And it's in space where nobody can hear anything. So we have that kind of caveat of, okay, you have to hear stuff because, you know, it would be pretty boring to have a dead silent mm-hmm. game, right?
Yeah.
But where does the music come from? Is it like the kid in Iron Eagle? You should look down and see, like, the tape recorder playing Queen on your thigh.
The one that he specially made to tape to his thigh.
Exactly.
What the hell?
But it made the movie watchable, didn't it?
You know what? Now they actually have those. Those, like, arm straps or leg straps for iPods and stuff.
Yeah.
That's common now. Back then,
it would look pretty silly if you were running with like a boombox duct taped to your arm.
More like limping. dragging one side. Oh, God, this is heavy. Oh, God.
Oh, man.
So many C batteries. Oh, God.
So, yeah, we were going to talk about game soundtracks. This is the week of the game soundtrack.
Yeah, we actually got a request for this topic, and I love game music. I have tons and tons of soundtracks. So I've got, like, I don't know, 80, 90 gigs just of game soundtracks. I don't know if that's a lot, but it feels like a lot.
That's a lot to me.
It's a lot to me. Yeah, it's like a few hundred of all types of PC and console games that I've been ripping and buying over the years from my own discs and such.
That was going to be my next question, was, like, I know some of the games, it's like you get the soundtrack with it, or for a couple bucks extra, you get the soundtrack kind of thing. But I didn't know if the other ones, it was just common, like, you're what, like, ripping the Redbook audio?
Yeah, you're ripping the Redbook audio, typically. Or sometimes some games, when you download them, they'll have the tracks in, like, a assets/sound/music folder. And sometimes they'll be in just MP3. That was the case with Distant Worlds. The music was just there in MP3 files, so I just took it and put it in my music folder. So that was easy.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, let's get to a little bit of news. There's some interesting stuff this week.
The news.
The news. All the news that's fit to pod. Anyway.
You know, I wish if it wasn't just an audio podcast, then we could actually have, like, a Star Wars kind of scroll of the news. So I just want everybody to just close your eyes and envision the news scrolling.
See, what I think is, I think of those old-timey newsreels. You know, to all the men and women in America and all the ships at sea. You know, that's what I think.
Hey, what was the deal with that voice?
Oh,
because it seemed like, you know, it was the voice, and everyone must do the voice because it's the news.
Yeah, I know.
Or whatever the hell that.
They have that,
and it was the newsreel voice.
They had that specific. The president is happy about this decision, and it's like, wow, dude.
Meanwhile in space.
Exactly. Meanwhile in space. The Homeworld IP, everyone was wondering about that after that big THQ auction. It's going to be up for sale in May at, like, another auction. And this auction's pretty much for licenses. So according to the story that I got from Rock, Paper, Shotgun, great site, by the way, if you haven't been there, Homeworld and Homeworld 2 are up for sale. No idea about Cataclysm. I know someone else developed that, but they don't mention Cat.
Well, wouldn't it all be bundled in?
You
would think that they would be granted a license that is subservient to the main license, right? Which, it's like,
yeah, no, I'm sorry. You would think, but in the rest of this list, they have every game in whatever franchise listed out singly, like all four Red Faction games, all eight MX games. I didn't even know there were eight. Both Darksider games, for example. So they have each individual game listed out. So I would think if that was the case, Cataclysm would be listed as well, but it's not. So I don't know what's going on with that. So I'm hoping Team Pixel? I'm hoping they get enough money now to buy those, because that's kind of their goal. I think they just launched a Kickstarter for that, maybe, along with their Indiegogo. But some of the other, this is just kind of funny, some of the other owned and licensed software up for sale, Fancy Nancy, Tea Party Time.
Wow. Damn, that's like with Barbie Horse Adventure. Put that right on my list of...
Well, no, I think you're going to want Destroy All Humans, Big Willy Unleashed. I think that's what you're most excited about. I'm going to have to fight you for that one.
That was actually the name of the title that was in development?
I just read it right here in front of me. It's right.
Holy cats. Yeah. I did like Destroy All Humans, and they made a second one that I didn't play. But I guess they were making a third. It had been so long. So long. Like, this came out on the original Xbox, so they're at least 5-6 years.
It's funny you mention that. I just got it for my PS2 a few weeks ago, and I just played the first mission or two. God, it's fun.
It is. I like the big-headed alien with the bug eyes kind of aliens. You know, the whole 50s thing with the theremin music and the.
But they have some other good licenses here, like the Supreme Commander games, Titan's Quest, Juiced, which are some good racing games, the Full Spectrum Warrior games.
Interesting.
Yeah, both Darksiders, obviously. PAX Imperia.
What?
Yeah.
God, I haven't heard that name in 10 years.
That's because it wasn't a very good game. But here it is. If someone wants to buy it for $10 and make their own PAX Imperia game, that's probably what you can get it for. So, yeah, this is going to be up for auction in May. So we have a couple of months to see who gets their hands on the Homeworld license. I hope whoever gets it, if it's Team Pixel or anybody else, they release it on GOG. First thing, just
absolutely
get it out.
My God.
Oh, my God, that would be great. Now, moving on, Strikesuit Zero finally added their real major patch that a lot of people, including myself, have been waiting for that adds revised targeting. Thank God. That was one of my biggest problems with the game. A cockpit view for folks.
Oh, my gosh.
And not only that, the cockpit view can stretch out to 3 monitors. So that's pretty nifty. And it's also
all right, hey, I'll be right back. I got to go down to that right now.
And it's also going to support that, the Oculus Rift? It's also going to support that as well.
That's going to be very interesting. Yeah.
But the other big things that people have been wanting, including myself, checkpoint saves, because those missions get really long and they have multiple checkpoints.
Yes, they do.
So now,
well, I noticed there's how many missions in the game, like 10 or 12 or something?
Yeah, 10 or 12, but each mission has multiple checkpoints, so it might as well be like 30 or 40.
Yeah, it was like the one mission, and I'm like, I'm 3 hours into this mission. What's going on?
Exactly. It's like, this is
and if you quit, you're done.
Yeah, you have to start off in the beginning. So they have checkpoint saves, but they also have now difficulty settings. And they have separate leaderboards for the easy, medium, and hard difficulty settings online.
I wish that patch had been there before the reviews went out.
Oh, I know.
The game got slayed in the reviews.
I hate to say it, but kind of deservedly so. I hate to say it, but, I mean, there's nothing wrong with going for old-school difficulty. That's the way I looked at it. Like, they're going for that kind of X-Wing kind of old-school difficulty, and if that's what they were trying to do, I appreciate it. But you have to have a longer difficulty curve, because the curve was almost a wall. It just kind of went... Almost.
Oh, it was very spiky. Exactly. Like that second mission, I got stuck like for days.
Exactly. And you're not the only one. A lot of people had very similar problems. So I kind of wish they had tweaked that before it was released. I agree with you. But I'm glad they're doing it now. And now people are going to – I'm going to eventually report on it on the site. I'm reporting on it here. So that's great. So thank God they're doing that. Next piece. This is a smaller piece. I was emailed by a developer saying there's a new Starflight clone in the works. Called Void of Darkness. Now, we can never have enough of these, in my opinion, but there's a caveat. In one of his blog posts, he says his interface is going to be simple and efficient like Starflight. I don't know how I feel about that, honestly.
Well, as long as it's not as obtuse as Starflight.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I don't, you know, like we were talking last week about how, well, you can't be in move mode and select mode.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so ridiculous.
I think he'll modernize it if he modernizes it and
I hope so. But he's pretty prolific about releasing stuff on his blog. I've linked to some posts, so check him out in the show notes. It's looking kind of intriguing. And the final piece of news, not a lot of big news this week. This isn't that big, but it's big to me. The Free Space Open folks have released their latest version 3.6.18 that. Fix apparently a big damage scaling bug that people were reporting. So if you're using Free Space Open 3.6.1, I believe 6 it was, Download that immediately. The link is in the show notes. And just do what you usually do. Just replace the old files.
Yeah, so I actually installed FreeSpace 2 again today. And I'd had it installed, you know, the base game from Good Old Games, but I didn't have FreeSpace open on top of it. So I went and based on that news, I was like, well, you know, I need to get that installed and check it out. It's a 4-gig patch.
Oh, yeah.
That's, whenever you tell it, like, download everything, and I didn't realize it was like, well, come back in a few hours. We'll have I would like to dig into who is actually running that.
Oh,
because somebody has to actually be donating the bandwidth to keep that thing alive and deal with 4 gigs of bandwidth for everybody that installs it.
We should try and get, yeah, that's a good idea. We will try and get some of those folks on the show. That's a fantastic idea. But
So some of them folks, if you're listening.
Some of them folks, if you are listening, we would like to talk to you. Moving on to games we played. Now, we're trying to streamline this a little bit, so we're just going to talk about just the games we played, space and non-space. And I haven't played any. I just haven't had time. I've played some roguelikes on my phone. That's it. I haven't had time to play a damned thing.
Yeah, I installed FreeSpace, like I said. Was screwing around with that a little bit. That's basically born from playing Wing Commander Saga in preparation for that thing that we're doing. That's a secret.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, there will be some of that. And so I've been playing basically Wing Commander 3 and 4 and then the mod. And the mod is, after going back and getting a fresh look at Wing Commander 3 and Wing Commander 4 and then going to the Free Space mod, I fully appreciate that mod now. Like, initially it was like, oh, this is pretty cool. But then I went back to the original source material and then came back to the mod. And it clicked. It's like, oh, my God, these guys got it. They got it perfectly.
Yeah. That's why I call it a labor of love. That's obviously what it is. They love Wing Commander, and they brought that love to that project. Yep. It's obvious in every
piece
of it.
And it's a far, far superior engine. But, it, you know, it's like years down the road, what, like 10 years now. So, you know, it's definitely has improved on it. So that makes me interested to see, because I think pretty strongly Chris Roberts being Chris Roberts, he has played it and has seen it, and now he knows where the bar is at. So he will be hopefully knocking the bar up another notch with Star Citizen.
I would be interested to hear if he's actually played it.
I wish that we had an opportunity where we could hold his feet to the fire and make him talk.
And you've also been playing
MechWarrior.
MechWarrior Online.
A lot of MechWarrior.
Yeah.
Well, they finally got me the freemium. Yeah, because I was in as a founder, and I was telling you my regret of I went in as a founder far enough to get one founder mech. I wish that I had spent the whole $100 and some and gotten all the founder mechs, because I'm having so deeply good of a time with this game now that it's finally maturing, that it's just like, take my money, please.
Well, let's get to our topic, music from space games. Now, I've listened to a lot. I love music from games. I love music from space games. So I chose a bunch of samples from what I think are some of the best in the business. And these are all going to be in the show notes with little samples you can play and places you can get them and all fun stuff like that. But we're going to go in alphabetical order here just to keep things simple for everyone. The first one I'd like to talk about is Conquest Frontier Wars. This came out in 2001 from Fever Pitch Studios, and the music was composed by James Hannigan and Andrew Sega. What a name. So good. So the next one is from Distant Worlds. As many of you know, I'm enamored with this game, totally, completely enamored. But the music is pretty good, too. Now, sadly, I could not find who the composer was. I emailed my press contact at Matrix Games, but he didn't get back at me in time for this recording. So, but if I get the who the composer is, I'll add it to the show notes. But this is a track called Action 2, which usually pops up when you're in battle or when you're heading toward a pirate base or something. And it's really awesome. So the next track is from a favorite game of mine, Emperor of the Fading Suns. This one had a lot of people, at least that I could find, working on it. Tim Carroll, Ernest apparently is his actual name, Scott Moskos, Colin Ray, and Barry Suttle. And this has one of the most atmospheric soundtracks to any space game I've ever played. And you can hear some of that in this track called Madrigal. Your Madrigal on. Right.
It's sort of a space medieval-y thing.
This whole kind of game is space medieval-y thing, because there's a church, there's an Inquisition, there's religion.
Yeah, it had kind of a Dune vibe in it, yet also little bit of Merchant Prince.
Yeah, well, it was made by those same people.
Oh, there you go.
Holistic Design. They made the Merchant Prince games. So, yeah, there you go. It's funny that you mentioned that. That's awesomely hilarious. Because, they made those. That's great. So that's a great one.
The scale of that game was amazing to me. Like, it got to the point where I would have so much crap that the game became almost unplayable because I couldn't keep my head wrapped around it, because you had full hex maps of planets. Multiple planets, and I would have like 10, I would have troops on like 10 planets, 10 different wars going on. So it was almost like playing Axis and Allies, 10 different games at once. I felt like Kasparov walking around table to table playing chess with 10 different people.
Yeah, that's why the later turns took at least an hour or something for the computer to do. It took forever for you to do. Yeah, the late game was crazy in that game, which is a shame because it was so good.
I can honestly say I've never finished a game of it, but I think the game with me.
I mean, the Hyperion and Nova patches, I believe they're called, do make that a bit better, but it's still an issue because just, like you said, the scale of the thing. That's one of the most amazing things about it, is the scale of the thing. And that hasn't really been matched in a lot of ways. I mean, Star General kind of tried. But, yeah. We don't talk about Star General too much. There are probably other games that have tried that same scope that I'm just not thinking of right now. But I don't think any of them, that's probably why I'm not thinking of them. They weren't successful. So moving on to the next game. Now, I've said many times this is a game I'm not fond of, Endless Space. I find it soulless. I find it dull. But it's very pretty, and it has an excellent soundtrack by an artist apparently called Fly By No, who I've never heard of. But this track is called Falling Night Stars, and it's fantastic. Now, this is kind of atmospheric, you know, kind of spacey. Gets you in the mood to explore. Gets you in the mood to mine planets and colonize stuff. Thank you. Yeah, good stuff. Probably, in my opinion, the best thing about the game. The rest of the game.
I kept waiting on it to turn into a Hall & Oates song. Or Police.
It does kind of have an 80s vibe.
Yeah, there's a little
it,
synth
it?
Pop just waiting.
Yeah.
Just waiting to jump out at you.
Yeah, well, I can't go for that. No, I don't know. That was terrible.
I see what you did there. I see it.
No, can do. I actually love that song, which I know I'm in the majority. I'm in minority. Okay, so the next one is Eve Online, and this music was composed by John Halur. He has a longer name, I think, on his website, but it's all Icelandic, and it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I just put John Halur, because that's what was on the track, too. Now, a lot of the music for Eve is very kind of mellow and atmospheric, but my favorite music is when you get, like, a mission or you get into some combat, and it starts to rock out a little.
The majority of the songs are actually like a Brian Eno-ish ambient kind of synthesizer thing, which I think is actually kind of cool. It makes really good work music because it just goes into the background, you know, that, which Eve is kind of a second job. So that fits, right?
That's why one of the reasons I stopped playing it. It's like, I already have a job and they pay me.
But this one kind of rocks out a little bit.
Yeah, do it, man. Yeah. Ah, such good stuff.
It reminds me of some Billy Idol chiptunes stuff that I had back in the day.
Really?
Yeah, like back in the days of the Amiga. People had taken Flesh for Fantasy or whatever and like made a MIDI tune out of it. And like they used to use that on game loaders and stuff. So
oh, I can barely imagine that song as a chiptune. It's a great song. Okay, now we have another track by the team again of Hannigan and Sega. This time, Freelancer from Digital Anvil in 2001. Now, there's a good chunk of atmosphere-y type music in this soundtrack, too, plus some good combat stuff, but my favorite is this track called Races and Battles, which is kind of overlays a lot of the combat and some of the races.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Why not?
It's called Races and Battles.
Yeah.
But they play it for Races and Battles.
Yeah, I know.
Who knew?
It's it's kind of confusing, and yet not. But yeah, play some of that, man.
Definitely play this next time I'm racing to a battle.
I know, it's good, like, get your blood pumping stuff, you know? Yeah, let's race, let's crank up those engines and fly. Yeah, I love that. It's a great soundtrack, too. It's on the disc, so, that's why I include links to Amazon for some of these, because it's on the disc. You just take it from the disc. So, very easy to get. But that's a great one. The music just really gets my heart racing there, because I've played Freelancer so many times now, and it just doesn't get old. But this next one actually kind of gives me a slight anxiety attack whenever I hear it, because it's FTL, and I don't know if you know this, Jim, but FTL gives me severe anxiety.
Why so, sir? Because you know you're going to die, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, and I've named my crew, and I care about them, and I really want them to survive, and I try and do everything I can to make them survive, and they never, ever do. I know it's a roguelike, I get that, and that's what happens in roguelikes, but because it's a spaceship with a crew, I get attached.
Mm-hmm.
And just sending them to their death over and over again. It just, I haven't played it in months because I had to stop. I had to stop myself playing it because it just gave me crazy anxiety.
The best stories that ever come out of roguelikes is not about how you survived, but about how you were doing so well, and then the wheels flew off the cart.
This is true. And in, like, fantasy roguelikes, I can deal with that just fine, even if it's named after me. I can, you know, deal with that just fine. But since it's, like, a spaceship, and I love spaceships with people on it, it's like, oh, God. But FTL was composed by Ben Prunty. That's not easy to say. And he did a great job. It's kind of chiptune-y a little bit, but this is a track called Milky Way Battle, which is awesome.
Well, the chiptune-iness evokes the source material.
Yeah, it really does, yeah. The graphics and everything. It really it works perfectly, which is why I included it. Oh, God. They're going to die. I'm feeling it, man. Flashbacks. FTL flashbacks.
I'm feeling the game right here. Get down, sir.
So that track, the tracks from FTL come on at work. This is where I listen to a lot of stuff all the time. And if I don't think about what game it's from, I'm fine. If I realize what game it's from, I can't listen to it for the whole track. But the next one you chose, that was Galactic Civilization. This is like your sole contribution to the list because I just picked every freaking thing else. But this is the one you chose. I kind of like it's a little subtle, but a little grandiose.
I really like the voice on the lady that they have singing here. It's very,
It kind of reminds me of some of the music from Heroes of Might and Magic 2.
Yeah.
Which also had operatic music, which is awesome. This is nice. Star Trek thing going too, which is good. Nice.
That is pretty smooth.
Yeah, I don't know if you could hear me when I said it, but it kind of has a little Star Trek vibe too.
Yeah,
which is really nice.
Yeah, a good bit. I wish that it was actually longer, but unfortunately that's the only vocal piece in it. And they said that they specifically had her sing some nonsense words, and that way the lyric is just like, you know, some alien language that they made up.
Oh, so that's why I found lyrics to that while I was researching it. Huh, crazy. But that was composed by Mason Fisher. Some of these people I've never heard of, sadly. But I'm glad I'm learning about them now. And links to all these folks will be in the show notes, too. But next is what we were just talking about a few moments ago, Homeworld. This music was composed by Paul Ruske? I don't know how to say that.
I found Homeworld to be, I think that it informed some of the music that happened in Battlestar Galactica years later.
Yes, you can hear that in the track we're about to play. It is kind of a similar tribal vibe to it. It's cool you pointed that out. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, well, it's kind of iterative. Like, Battlestar Galactica very clearly inspired Homeworld, and then Homeworld had some lasting effect on the people that made the reboot of Battlestar Galactica.
At least in the music department.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. If I ever see Bear McCreary again, he did the music for Battlestar Galactica. I've met him twice, and I'll ask him about that.
The We've almost got a little space diggeridoo going on there. Space Aussies.
That's my favorite part of that thing.
You know what it is? Vuvuzelas.
No, it can't be.
Yep, totally.
No, maybe. I don't think so.
But that is, to me, one of the most iconic tracks on that soundtrack in a great, with a great amount of songs on it. I mean, every song on that soundtrack is fantastic. But for some reason, that's the one that always stands out to me. Just so good. And I don't remember if the music in Homeworld 2 was any better or worse, but I don't really remember it, so I can't imagine it was better.
It was very similar.
Yeah.
So was Cataclysm's soundtrack wildly different?
You know what?
That's the one that I haven't played, and I keep hearing that it was the best, so that explains why I haven't played it.
You know what? I own it, and I haven't played it either. I own it because I wanted to do all this stuff, this blog stuff, and I haven't even touched it. I should change that.
You should touch it. Go now and touch it.
No, I'd have to go through this huge binder of CDs to find it. But yeah, a lot of people have told me that Cataclysm is the best because it like mixes the best parts of kind of 1 and 2, and it has a really kind of different story to it. So that's what I've heard. And the people who did that, I forget, Naughty Dog, something like that?
Yeah.
This is an indie game that I reviewed on the site a year or so ago. It's called Really Big Sky. It's a bullet hell shooter that dynamically generates levels and enemies based on how you play. And the game is fantastic. If you haven't played it, you haven't gotten it in a bundle, go find it and buy it. I'm not even kidding. It's so crazy fun. It's got so many modes. It's got like a classic mode where the game looks like it's from 1982. I'm not even kidding. It looks like a Space Invaders type, you know, defender thing. And it's just a great game. The soundtrack, I'm going to be honest, I don't remember where I got it from. I have it on Desura, but I might have gotten that through a bundle. So I'm just going to be honest, if you buy it through Desura, you might not get it there. And I couldn't find a link to buy it anywhere else. But
well, I heard the song, and I was like, I've never seen this game. And
yes,
I went to YouTube,
you should,
and I saw it, and I was like, now I must buy this game.
It's so much fun. Just remember, the drill is very tiny, and you can barely see it, but you have to use it quickly, or else you'll crash into a planet.
Dancing in the chair.
Pretty confident that I have heard this very track on, and it's Trance Around the World with Above and Beyond. It's a now defunct podcast. They've started a new one. It's called Group Therapy. But if you like that kind of music, just like search in iTunes for Trance Around the World, and they have years of 2 to 3 hour episodes. I think they were 2 hour episodes.
Well, let's make sure we add that to the show notes
of that
so
kind of
folks
music.
Can find it.
It's awesome.
But, yeah, that track, I mean, the whole soundtrack is awesomely electric and energetic like that, and it just matches the game just perfectly. So if you like bullet hell shooters with a ton of variety, get that game, seriously.
Yeah.
Now we're going to take it down a notch for the next game. which is Star Ruler from 2010. The music for that was composed by Artem Bank, who I'd never heard of until this game. But the soundtrack is just perfect for a space game. It's got some trance. It's got some electronica. It's very moody. But the track I chose is a little different. It's very piano heavy. And it just, I heard it in the game a bit, but when I ever hear it on my, you know, game music mix, the world just kind of slows down a little bit and I take a breath. It's just really good stuff. It's called End of It All. Yeah, very ambient, a little repetitive, but it just sets kind of the mood for this type of game, I think, perfectly. And the rest of the soundtrack, there are actually two soundtracks to this game, and it's just fantastic. And he's also done some other games, and I've actually talked to him on the site. He's like the nicest guy. I did a Q&A with him a while back. But yeah, he's doing more and more games, and now he's doing another space game called Kinect Void? Kinetic, I can never write say this name. Kinetic Void. I always want to say Kinect. What was that Xbox thing? Kinect?
Yeah, the Kinect.
Yeah, this is Kinetic Void, which I had a Kickstarter a while back. It was successful, I believe. That's coming out later this year. But he did the soundtrack to that as well.
Oh, cool.
So he's doing some spacey games. But the next one is one of the best. One of the best. We're talking TIE Fighter. There's been a lot of TIE Fighter talk lately. But
TIE Fighter, what's that?
I don't know. It's a thing about it's where you get bow ties and you.
I haven't played that game for minutes.
I haven't played it for days. This music was composed by Peter McConnell, and the problem with this, I'll be honest, I had a very hard time finding music for this one because for the original iMuse, a lot of the music was in tiny little pieces that would play.
It's called procedural, right? Because it strings chunks together.
Exactly. So it strings chunks together, so it's in tiny little pieces. So the best way I could find a sample of it was this YouTube video where some really awesome person, I linked to it in the show notes, put together all of the, like 14 minutes worth of this music.
Oh, wow.
And it didn't have my favorite little bit, which I'm not going to sing for you, but it didn't have my favorite little bit, but it had my second favorite little bit. So, this is TIE Fighter, battle music arranged. I forgot the name of the YouTube user, but it's on his page, and it's awesome. Yeah. Shit's about to go down, man.
Alpha 2.
Exactly.
Enemy craft.
Mission critical installation under attack.
Oh, man. Some things stick with you.
I know. Alpha 2, using your target to attack. Oh, God.
And it's always point that you hear, like, a couple of laser blasts and then the like, going to the hospital scene kicks in.
you hear that hitting your hull. It's like, oh, shit. Oh, crap.
Like, exactly.
Bonk. Whatever that horrible metal grating sound it would make when they hit your hull.
Yeah, and then the final blow was like a cracking windshield in a car.
It was something like that. It was this horrible kind of cracking, popping, blowing sound that was... blowing up sound that was just horrible. But yeah, that music, that's one of the reasons I'm playing the DOS version is because I don't think hardly anything beats that music. It's just, the dynamic nature of it, just the perfect way it was composed. It's just, mwah. Going on the other end of the scale, from games everyone has heard of and played to a game barely anyone has heard of or even fewer people played, it's called Terminus. Did you ever play this one?
I saw the box on the shelf, and I almost bought it a couple of times. This is back when games used to come in boxes in a store.
Oh, God, that's right.
Do you remember walking into, like, EB Games or...
Stop and Save Software, man. That was
Babbage's.
Oh, Babbage's, which turned into GameStop.
Yeah.
And then that turned into EB, and then EB turned into Game. But no one played this game, and it's very, I mean, it's got Newtonian physics, it's got a story, it's got a scripted campaign, and an open play. You would think it would appeal to a lot of people, but it was kind of buggy, and it was a bit confusing, and it had full motion video in some bits of it, which is like, ugh.
Yeah.
But it had a great soundtrack. I've been listening to the soundtrack since it came out 13 years ago. Oh, my God. But, yeah, this game came out in 2000, and the composer was Todd Mastin. And this is a sample from, the first or second track that's included with the game disc. It's called Begin Transmission. I'm flying to a space gate thing. I'm gonna jump somewhere. Woo!
It's very Space Ren Faire.
Oh God, I'm never gonna get that in my head now.
Well, in the Newtonian physics, right? It's like jousting.
That's kind of how the combat felt. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So just like Endless Space, music is the best thing about the game. If you can get the CD cheap just for the music, you can do that. I don't even think the game runs anymore on modern machines. Even with, like, fan-based patches, the thing won't run. Moving away from Terminus, now we have the last two tracks we're going to talk about are kind of similar. Sort of. Not really. The first track is from the original Wing Commander game, composed by a man called Fat Man. That's not his real name. I don't remember his real name.
He wasn't even fat. I feel like lied to.
No, he wasn't even fat at all. He's a fairly... The one picture I've seen, he looks like a very just normal weight guy.
Yeah, well, he was a Texan, was he not? And he was really, really had a thing for fancy suits.
Yes, he's still based in Texas. He does actually, I was looking at his site the other day for this, he does some like little music, game music conferences down in near Austin, I think. But yeah, he did so much music for Origin back in the day. Remember, he did not only all the first two Wing Commander games, he did Strike Commander. What was it Pacific Strike? The kind of World War II Pacific Strike?
Yeah.
Strike Commander thing. Bio something.
Bioforge.
Thank you. It came out on GOG recently. And, just a bunch of.
Oh, did they bring Bioforge out?
I think so.
Yeah, that game was pretty crazy. I spent a lot of time on that game. It was very frustrating.
Yeah, apparently the controls were awful.
Oh, God. It was numeric keypad.
I was trying to play Crusader No Remorse a little while back. Same thing.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It was really hard to get a click on that because I loved it back in the day, but now it's like, ouch.
Okay, so here's how you get around that. There's a small app that you download. It's called Joy2Key. And it basically lets you take any gamepad and map gamepad presses to keyboards.
There you go.
And then you can play that stuff totally with a gamepad.
I will get a gamepad and one of those, that program eventually. But back to Wing Commander, yeah, this is like one of the first games I remember with real good sound. Like, I remember, I think I bought an Adlib card just for this game back in the day.
Yeah, I think they sold a lot of, it was like Roland and Adlib and Sound Blaster. Like,
yeah.
I think this game single-handedly put sound cards in so many computers.
It did me. Yeah, I read the requirements and I first saw the game on a friend's computer back in the day, and he just got an AdLib card. I'm like, oh God, I need one. I'm like 16, 17, and I'm like, I don't know how to afford it, but I'm going to afford it. And I did. And, blew my mind. So let's play a sample from, the original Wing Commander. God, my hand is moving the joystick. It's amazing. Remember you actually saw that your move thing in the game was like the most mind-blowing thing ever? Yeah. Oh. Give me some jalapenos.
Yes.
Bring me the head of a Karate. such good stuff. Such brings back such memories because I always got pumped up at that sequence. The little guys running, you know, getting in the cockpit, putting the helmet on, the thing coming down, and the Battlestar Galactica style whoosh out the tube.
Yeah.
Oh man. For our final track, we're staying in Wing Commander, but the free game Wing Commander Saga that came out last year. Wow. For a free game, they're also giving away the soundtrack by Tim Jensen's. It's an amazing soundtrack. Not only is the game free, the soundtrack is free. I mean, it's an open source engine, but they probably can't sell it. But you'd think they might have been able to sell the soundtrack and get some money back. But no, they're giving it away for free. And it's amazing.
Yeah, but this looks great on that guy's resume.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, this is definitely a resume builder. And the music is fantastic and atmospheric. And even though it's more modern, and definitely sounds more modern than the Freelancer, I mean the Wing Commander music, it still has that same kind of flavor. So this is from a track called Hermes in the Wing Commander Saga soundtrack. Kind of start with Star Trek Bob.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like having visions of Commander Janeway.
It's funny, that kind of reminded me, I didn't think of this before, it reminded me a little bit of the music we just heard from Conquest Frontier Wars.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Not that it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So those are, folks, just some of the songs that I could think of off the top of my head from some great and, sadly, not so great space games. Actually, there's only kind of maybe one or two here that were mediocre, maybe three. That's the game.
And yet all musically delicious.
Yes. All musically fantastic. But if you have a track, if you have a favorite track from a favorite game that I did not include or neither of us thought of, please feel free to add it in the comments or the forum because I love either hearing about game music I haven't heard of or reminiscing about game music I might have forgotten about. So please feel free to chime in with your selections for some of the best space game music. Because there's no way I can remember them all, but I tried to remember a bunch. So I guess that's it for this world for now. Now that being said, we kind of have a surprise for you coming up. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's a special edition of our podcast that we usually record these on Tuesday nights, but we're recording one tomorrow on Wednesday, and it's the 6th. March 6th is tomorrow, I believe. So for episode 3, we're going to have something of a surprise, and I hope you all enjoy it. Okay, folks, I want to thank you. I guess we'll wrap this up. I want to thank you for joining Jim and I for podcast number 2. which hopefully isn't number two in the end. I hope you enjoyed the music samples, which you can all listen to in the show notes. And the show notes also include links where you can download the soundtracks, links to the composers so you can read more about them, and links to the pages about the games themselves, either on Moby Games or maybe their official site. So I'm trying to keep the show notes as accurate and informative as possible. But again, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to leave them either below in the comments or on the forum. We're going to try and make a forum thread for each podcast so people can talk. And don't forget to either use our RSS feed or our iTunes page to subscribe. There are links to those in the widget on the sidebar with all of the other social links for Space Gate Junkie. And I want to thank you all for listening to our latest, for right now at least, our latest podcast episode.